Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson, myself, Gwen Berry. We're all the hosts, and today we have our wonderful, often with us guest, author Ronald Feynman and Dr. Ronald Feynman. And it's, guys, it's as you were saying before we were so rudely interrupted by show, it really is. You just one day to the next collides to the other, and it's the Trump show, it's the circus. But you guys.
No, I saw on Eleanor Goldfield just in that last day or two. It had been on previously, but not too long ago. She ran down all the reasons we should not hope for Trump to be impeached, and the reasons were his cabinet. All the line of succession is the rottenest we've ever had in our history. It's just terrible.
You're right. You're absolutely right on that. Yeah.
My hope is that the criminal charges that come up against this crowd are so vast that they're going to give volume to the lawsuit that's underway by the woman in, I think she's in New York, that is actually getting air time with the Supreme Court about the election being fraudulent.
Great.
And if that happens, that'll be another republic. And I don't mean Republican. I'm talking about the Republic of America, another crisis nationally. However, I'm beginning to think that America can deal with it. You know, I think that we're proving day by day, if you keep an eye and pulse on the street, and everything, all the actions, and it's not just because we won the first election, but it's because people really are upset, and they're bothering.
Oh, they are.
They're bothering to learn what it's about, which they didn't do through the election. They just listened to the bread and circus show.
Right.
And that's the other thing, is the come to Jesus moment for the press at large.
Oh, yeah. You know, if Trump is found guilty and implicated in some way, there's a simple solution. Just throw him into a gulag.
Oh, my gosh.
In Siberia.
with Putin, yeah.
With Putin, there we go.
Yeah.
Well, do you know how long the list of authors and journalists are that Putin has had either imprisoned or murdered?
Oh, it's just
a long
incredible.
List. I don't know how long it is, but it is a long list, yeah.
It's over 300 names, guys. Over 300 names.
No, he's very ruthless, and he's unforgiving and ruthless completely.
Yeah, and he's going through a purge right now. There's been 5 diplomats poisoned in the last, like, well, I thought it was, 4 diplomats have been poisoned, including one here.
Uh-huh.
In the last, I thought it was the last 5 weeks, but it's actually the last, more like the last 8 weeks.
Uh-huh. That's the way he operates. You know, he just disposes of them. It's just unlike anything we've seen here. And I hope
I must say, to have a president condemn the media as the enemy of the American people is shocking. Nobody's ever gone that far, even Richard Nixon.
Right.
Richard just didn't think of it. You know, he thought he couldn't get away with that. And we'll see how far that gets Trump. NBC and MSNBC are two of the networks he didn't bar. And apparently this week, Talking Points. What is Chuck Todd's show? Jeez. Sunday show. It's on every day on MSNBC.
Meet the Press. Yeah, right.
Meet the Press called the White House and said, we'd love to have, you know, we want to have one of your cabinet or somebody. And that's just SOP and has been for a couple of generations.
Right.
come on, and they said, oh, we'll send a second level press, you know, press, the junior press secretary or something, not Baby Goebbels either. It was somebody else. And meet the press said, no, thank you. That's it.
Wow, that's
good
wonderful
for them.
Yeah, no, thank you.
The big question of the month is, what has happened to Kellyanne Conjob? She's not nowhere to be seen.
Conjob.
She's nowhere to be seen.
Well, she's all over Fox Network.
Oh, she is still.
Oh, she's all over Fox Network. In fact, Hannity did a freaking special on her this last week just to make her look
absolutely detestable.
Yes, he's the most despicable of all. He'll accept anything from Trump.
Yeah, he's horrible.
Well, do you know who did get a press pass? My sister told me this. And I was like, you're kidding me now. And she said, no. That asshat from InfoWars got a press badge for the White House.
I heard that. That's right.
Over the New York Times, CNN, BBC. I mean, the list is pretty extensive and so.
Oh, he doesn't even like the BBC anymore. Interesting. Boy, he hates everybody.
Well,
I wonder how long he can survive making war on the press like that. That only goes just so far out of your own circle, you know?
Yeah, also, he's making war on the intelligence agencies, and I think they're starting to get back at him, you know.
Good, yeah.
The leaks.
They should just,
and also, these countries like Canada and Australia and Sweden and Germany,
You
know, it's just crazy. These are our allies, our friends, and he's antagonizing everybody.
Yeah, the Swedish guy said, what's he been smoking?
Here's the serious thing that the press isn't talking about this week. They are maneuvering Ayotte, what is her name, from South Carolina who went over to the UN?
Nikki Haley. Yeah.
Yeah. She has been in conference with Trump this week, and the leakage on that, which is pretty firm, is that she's getting ready to withdraw the United States under Trump's orders from the human rights.
Oh, my gosh.
That's unbelievable. You know, this guy is getting so – he's not even shocking anymore. The shit he pulls is just it's incredible.
I must say what amazes me is there was a debate about the transgender change where even though she's despicable, Betsy DeVos did say, no, that shouldn't be done. And Jeff Sessions said it should be done. And they had a meeting at the White House, and Trump told DeVos, you have to accept it. I'm signing with Sessions. And she accepted, but she issued a statement about transgender. But she should have really resigned. And so should the Secretary of State when he can't get his, the underling he wants, the Undersecretary of State who we want, and the same thing with the Homeland Security, where he says we're not going to do military at the border with Mexico, even though Trump said otherwise. These people are contradicting him all the time, and the defense secretary.
Yeah, even McManus disagreed with him this past week, and he got away with it somehow. But
having to do with the oil issue, but we're not going to take the oil of Iraq. They all should actually, after they don't need the job, they should resign and really put him on the spot. You know that we're not going to tolerate this. You know, but they all cave in at the end. Yeah.
That'd be incredible. Yeah. His whole cabinet resigned almost overnight. That was,
well, actually,
that was
that's
really
not the only time it's ever happened. It actually happened with John Tyler in the
1840s. Oh, it did.
Yes,
oh,
it did. Yeah.
I guarantee you his personality was a lot different than Trump's.
Yes. I would say Trump is a lot like Andrew Johnson, actually. Very confrontational. Andrew Johnson.
Yeah, very much
so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he came to no good end, too.
Well, he wasn't removed, but he was put on trial for impeachment, found not guilty. Yes, yeah.
He's basically, I think that Trump is a lot more despicable. I wouldn't put Andrew Jackson in the boots of a traitor, which I do Trump.
Johnson. I was talking about Andrew Johnson, not Andrew Jackson. But yes, I agree. No, I think the C-SPAN poll came out a week ago, and I've been writing a total of 8 articles on my Progressive Professor blog about it, and I finally finished. I analyzed it to death already, and I made it clear that I think that even the presidents of the bottom, like James Buchanan and Andrew Johnson and Franklin Pierce and Warren G. Harding, will rise with Trump in office, and George W. Bush went up a few slots. I think he will rise, and I think Richard Nixon will. Everybody will rise a bit because I think Trump's going to be the absolute worst of every president we've ever had.
I agree.
He already is. What's the debate about, boys? I mean,
good God, he hasn't even been in office for 2 months yet, for God's sakes. Unbelievable.
5 weeks, yeah.
Withdraw us from the Human Rights Commission at the UN.
That unbelievable.
We started it. We founded it.
Roosevelt was the one
to
promote
it.
Stand
for as a country.
Yeah, this is a repudiation of Eleanor Roosevelt after she was First Lady when she was involved with the United Nations. You're right.
Yeah.
It's absolutely what it is. But everything with what's going on politically with the nationalism, whether it's here or abroad, has a lot to do with keeping women in their place. Don't even come at me
with that. Well, Trump's so paranoid, he wants everybody kept in their place. He doesn't want any dissent whatsoever. Everybody's got to toe his line, or you're an enemy and you got to be removed. This guy's nuts.
Oh, I think
he's very
right.
Dangerous.
Yeah, very dangerous.
That's why a week and a half ago, I wrote an article for History News Network, which ended up on Newsweek as well, and also got distorted on other news media, saying that I thought, although Mike Pence is far from ideal, that at some point the 25th Amendment Section 4 might be put into play where Pence would take over as acting president because of the fact that although Pence is not a good person, he certainly is not mentally unhinged like Trump is. And it's gotten some, some response, some hate people writing me emails and all that, and also all this support, but it's amazing. It's really spread like wildfire. It's been in headlines, and suddenly I had my joking 15 minutes of fame.
Well, that's great, man. That's wonderful. We got to keep that up. We got to keep doing more of that because this guy, he is unhinged. He is wacko. He's as wacko as the day is long, and he's got to be. He has just got to be done away with somehow. He's terrible.
Have you noticed the response in the town hall?
Oh,
absolutely, yeah.
Especially in regards to
your job,
getting rid of
Obamacare. Yeah.
Now, in actuality, there is a great many Republicans in those town halls, not just activists and Democrats.
Right.
Here,
a lot of them are very angry, too.
Yes,
and
especially about ACA. Down
right.
here, locally, there have been a couple of town halls up this way. I one in Boca, too, I think. And you know who's...
I'm aware of the one in Boca. There was one in West Palm Beach that I know of. I don't know about Boca. Maybe there was. I don't know. I'm not aware of it.
And Trump has a golf course right down by there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
In West Palm Beach, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the West Palm Beach community very upset about his coming and going.
Well, also, the Lantana Airport is shut down when he visits for the weekends, and that really affects their business because, except for this week, he's been here 3 weekends already, and it messes up the traffic and the airport there.
You know, for a guy that was never going to go on vacation because it was too busy and the presidency was too important to take vacations, the guy's already taken 3 weekend vacations at an expense that's dwarfed President Obama's yearly expense for vacations. Just unbelievable. This guy
He spent more than 1 month than Obama spent in a year on trips for vacation, yes.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
And you don't hear a word about that from the Republicans, but they bitched and complained about Obama going to Hawaii once.
Oh, yeah. Anytime he went somewhere, he was sloughing off. And George Bush, Christ, that guy was always on vacation. Jesus Christ, he was down at his ranch all the damn time.
Okay,
well, Crawford was the White House, really, wasn't it?
Oh, come on. Get a clue, gentlemen. This is how Republicans are. My point was about the town hall and the people upset in them. Not all of them are Republicans. There are Democrats in there, but there's a lot of activism going on that's getting these people there. And
yes.
A lot of a lot of these groups are sourced by the indivisible doctrine, which is sort of acting as a central committee that has now over 7,000 groups going across the country. And this, mind you, has grown in 1 month's time. Tea Party took how many years?
Oh, incredible.
And here's
well, about
other...
8 years, since year nine. Yeah, it was. It's been amazing, the activism. You're right.
And
don't you know, let me be facetious here, don't you know these are all paid protesters courtesy of George Soros?
Oh, that
That's
is so
the latest
ridiculous.
Buzz line from all these crazy Republicans at Fox News.
I'd like to get that paycheck. Here's the other part about that, too. Most of the chairs and the people that are doing a lot of the activism organization on the local level, which translates into a national, but on the local level are women. It's very
good.
Dominated by women, and that's who's been in the streets a lot. Not that men are
well,
not.
The March for Women in Washington was incredible, and
absolutely.
Hats off to everybody who took part in that, male and female, especially the females. They really got out there and showed their mettle. That was awesome.
Was the women's march there? I mean,
and they haven't let up yet either. They're still going at it.
I mean, yesterday in L.A. at the conference before the Oscars, they actually have got Jodie Foster in the street now. It takes a lot for her to say anything.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, she doesn't even do interviews.
Right.
And she got in front of a microphone and called Trump an asshole, too. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it. I love it. You know, it's so true. It is so obvious to everybody but Trump's inner circle. It's just and the Republicans that are just riding his wave.
Where'd you go, Jack?
I'm here. I'm still here.
Oh, I thought you like got cut off. It sounded that
no,
way.
No.
Well, the other thing that's going on here too, that was a very hard. It was a hard week for me, because it was a hard week. Watch the burning of the Standing Rock encampment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was an absolute tragic thing. How Native Americans have been so mistreated, and it's happening again.
It's just happening all the time in our society. Native Americans, they talk about blacks, and blacks have been mistreated over the years, but Native Americans have really been under our bootstraps from day one. It's just terrible. Genocide, you name it, and everything else.
You guys are missing the point here. It's not about mistreatment of the Red Nations. It's about the mistreatment of our earth and our water.
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of their. That's a big part of their nation.
Well, now Scott Pruitt's the head of the EPA, and he's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't just Native Americans out there, although they are the ones who are making a stand. And prophetically speaking, I think they will be the ones who lead the way back to Mama. But you're quite right with Pruitt in office. It's a joke. It's a big joke. He's dismantling the EPA.
Yeah, that's just terrible.
Well, don't forget that Steve Bannon talks about deconstructing the government. He wants to get rid of every government agency that has done anything from TR through FDR through LBJ through everybody else up
Steve
to
Bannon,
now, 100 years.
He's the real dangerous man. Trump
he's
is
an
just
anarchist.
A little lackey.
Yeah, he's actually he's the most dangerous person around Trump, and Trump listens to him.
Oh, yeah.
I think when you consider that Trump listens to InfoWars online and takes his conspiracy theories from there, you got some real problems going on. I mean, this is a guy who's actually toying with what the idea of chemtrails is on the back burner.
You know, and what's so crazy is that Trump, you know, he doesn't listen fully to anything. His mind wanders so damn much. I'm starting to wonder if he's got a touch of Alzheimer's. You know, that guy,
I think he does have dementia.
He misunderstood
yes.
Tucker Carlson, and that's how he came up with that Sweden nonsense. God almighty God, you know, the guy, he has a attention span of a gnat, and, you know, this is very
don't
dangerous.
Don't be nasty to gnats now. Please, Jack.
You know, that's not good. That's not good for a president who's supposed to be on top of the game all the time with everything or damn near everything. He's on top of very little.
Yeah. Also, I want to point out that Trump made the comment he's not anti-Semitic. He wasn't asked about himself being anti-Semitic. He personalizes everything. He ignores the issue of
right.
anti-Semitism. And, you know, and to me, when you have to say I'm the least anti-Semitic person you've ever known or the least racist, that's protesting too much. That is not the kind of thing a person says, because that means you are that.
Right. Well, he has no decorum.
Very bad used car salesman, guys. Haven't you noticed?
Very bad.
He's constantly saying, we're the better, we're the best, and believe me, believe me, believe me.
yes.
I mean, he's got tag buzzlines and taglines that he pulls out of, he jumbles in his pocket and pulls up whenever he goes blank, which is way too often. And he's got no substance in any of his speeches. There's no freaking substance at all.
It'll be interesting to see what he says Tuesday when he speaks to the Congress. We'll be watching and seeing what he says. Of course, that's prepared, but I wonder what he's going to say. Yeah.
Might keep him there.
Well, he'll have that new goofball yuppie guy, young 31-year-old guy, craft him another gem.
Excuse me, gentlemen, you're using the wrong determination for that man's name. His name is Baby Goebbels.
Yeah, very true. Very good.
Yeah.
He's an authoritarian little, what we used to call an authoritarian prick when I was in college.
Oh. He's the kind of guy that everybody used to beat up in high school because they just couldn't stand him because he's so nerdy.
Well,
yeah. And arrogant as hell. You know.
Yeah, arrogant as hell. Won't listen to anybody. He's got it all figured out. He's a little shit ass.
Yep. Miller and Bannon, they have more authority than anybody else, it seems.
It's just unbelievable. Miller, good God.
It's got our allies quite frightened. But, you know, the other thing that happened this week, too, day before yesterday, the first election that came up since the Trump White House and the empty chairs to be filled was taken by the Democrats in Delaware.
In Delaware.
Yeah, and that is activism right there. That
it is, but, you know, Delaware is typically Democratic country.
Yeah, it's a blue state, though. We have to see it happen in a red state. That's
but beyond
even
that,
more significant.
At least the Republicans made no headway. That's great.
They took a Republican chair.
Well, that's good.
Republican. I mean,
I expect a lot more of that to be happening.
Well, and here's the other thing is, will it or won't it, because there's a lot of conversation, and Ron and I got into it on Facebook talking about the new head of the Democratic, party.
DNC. Yeah,
I wish Ellison would have won, but he didn't.
Yeah, it was for Ellison, too.
Perez doesn't have the organizing ability. He's a good man, but I just don't think he's going to be able to really pull off what we really need.
Well,
I would disagree. I think Perez is very good. He was Secretary of Labor. He's really good. I think you both would discover that he's going to be a lot better than you think.
I hope you're right, Professor. I really do, because
and I also want to use the point here that he is, of course, Latino or Hispanic, the fastest growing minority group in America.
That's good too. That's good.
And the problem with Ellison is that nothing wrong with him being a Muslim, but I don't know if a black Muslim at this point as the leader of the DNC would really communicate well to people who are not, of those backgrounds.
The only thing you can say about Ellison is that he is very expert at organizing and motivating. He's extremely good there, and I think we're going to miss some of that, although he's been designated deputy secretary, so that's great.
Yes.
Well, you know what I don't think is being looked at here is how all the on-the-ground action has been happening. It's been happening through a more Ellison branch of governing than it has been through a Perez. And through Perez, kind of old system Democrat governance, we have Democrats sitting in Washington right now that voted for people Trump put on his cabinet.
Yeah, boy.
And that is angering people up and down the road. People will not
justifiably
be
justifiably so.
And
actually, only Manchin, who's the most conservative Democrat,
West
Virginia, is the only one who actually voted for some of the cabinet members. I don't think any of the others did, except for Manchin. Yes, he's almost like a Republican. That's true.
He is. He's terrible.
Yeah.
And his daughter was the one that had that EpiPen controversy. Yeah, his daughter was the EpiPen controversy. Not EpiPen, something else. One of the other drugs.
Yeah, EpiPen, yeah. She's the head of the company that makes EpiPen, and she raised the prices.
Yes, outrageous, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think that even Howard Dean would do a better job than Perez because he hasn't come on the street. You know,
I agree. Howard Dean was a great DNC chair. I actually wish he had one.
That was a good move.
Yeah, I think he would have been good to come back out with Dean. I agree.
Yeah.
And it would be blasphemy at this point to point out that it might have been a more appealing choice to put a woman in there, but after Debbie Wasserman Schultz, we're all hiding in the corner.
No. looking back at Howard Dean in 2004, if he had not messed up and he had been the nominee in a race that was actually quite close in the electoral vote against Bush and Kerry, I got to wonder, looking back after all this time, could he have possibly defeated Bush for the second term instead of Kerry, who came close but didn't? Could he?
Yeah.
He might have. And, of course, it's all theory.
He might have,
He might have, Howard Dean, back in 2004, you know.
You know, I noticed that Perez got 225 votes to
235 to 200.
200. Yeah. That's fairly close, and I think that's one of the reasons Perez reached out his olive branch to Ellison, and I hope Ellison will use some influence on Perez and moderate his tendency to become so typically Democratic. You know,
we're talking about corporate Dems here,
right?
Those
exactly.
They've been riding the wave of re-election for years up there, and they got to go.
Ever since Bill Clinton, let's face it.
They got to go. They got to go. They really got to go. If we're going to change this country, if we're going to save this planet, all the other stuff, they got to go. And the old chessboard has to get knocked over, and I think it's happening. We got Trump.
Let's hope so. You know, the Democrats, we've discussed this many times, the Democrats used to be the party of the working man and the working principles and the common man. And we had the war on poverty and all that other stuff. And that's, since the end of the LBJ administration, that's all been pushed back in history and nobody pays attention to it anymore. And then with the rise of Bill Clinton came the new Democrats. And the new Democrats, all they are corporate goofballs that paid more attention to Wall Street than they did to Main Street. And that's a disaster. And it has not served the Democratic Party or our country very well at all.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention that Bill Clinton, actually, I always said when I talked about him, he's a Democrat, but he's more a Republicrat.
Right.
Cooperating too much with Republican ideas, although they impeached him. But I'm saying he really was the least Democratic president, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, I don't know if he was naive or stupid or out manipulated or what, but when Texas Senator Graham convinced Bill Clinton to do away with the Glass-Steagall Act and all that stuff, that was unbelievable. You know, for a Democratic president to abandon working people the way he did.
He also, Clinton, allowed the end of a federal guarantee of welfare, which I thought was wrong. He also allowed the Interstate Commerce Commission to be wiped out in 1995.
Not good, talk about that.
And he also allowed the merger of Exxon and Mobil, which is the opposite of what Teddy Roosevelt did 90 years earlier.
Exactly.
So there were a lot of things that I was not happy with him, although I preferred him to the Republican candidate.
Yeah,
Not happy.
By a slim margin, you know. Let's face it, the guy – as we look back on him now, he's not a great president. He made a lot of bad mistakes that are haunting Democrats and the country right now.
Yeah, I want to mention that he's number 15 in the C-SPAN poll. He was 15 in 2009 and 21 in 2000. So he went up from 21 to 15, but he didn't rise. And I wrote a blog entry on theprogressiveprofessor.com that said, I don't think he's going to rise. Obama's above him. He's 12th. And I don't think Clinton's going to rise any further than he is already. I don't see him, you know, I don't think he'll fall necessarily. He's still considered pretty good at 15.
His personal popularity with the people is still very high. You know, he's been a good campaigner. He gets out there and rouses people, and they like him. You know, they like him personally. But, you know, once that wears off and they start really looking at his administration and what he did, he's gonna fall.
Where you guys been? I mean, do you think people aren't looking at a bigger picture right now? Even people who work so hard, but they're.
Well, sure. Look how far Bernie went.
Yeah, and for anybody to say that Keith Ellison was a Bernie-crat and so he wasn't really a Democrat and he's not really a Democrat.
Oh, that's insane.
That bickering is going on, though, right now between some of
That's very errant. That's very wrong because Keith Ellison is a true Democrat. He's a New Deal-style Democrat, just the way Bernie Sanders was. All this democratic socialism talk is a bunch of nonsense. You know, all Bernie was, he was a stronger advocate for New Deal programs and the expansion of them rather than bottling them up. He still is.
And here's the thing. In the last few weeks, the only people really fighting back and speaking to the press and telling it like it is has been Maxine Waters, John Lewis, and Bernie Sanders.
Yes, and they are all traditional New Deal-style Democrats.
They are. And
true hardcore liberals.
We need them back. Yeah, no.
Yes, we do.
What Clinton brought in on a wave of success was neoliberalism, and people are stuffed up with it. It's a
globalism and all that nonsense.
Well, you know, the kind of neoliberalism, and a lot of people see from the left, the very left, and a lot of the activists see Perez and that choice as a neoliberal in the hot seat, and they're like disgusted. And then there's the other side of it. I mean, I'm a liberal Democrat. I've been an old liberal all my life.
So
and
have
I'm
I.
Not,
yeah.
I'm not going to change, but I also understand the need for us to elect brand new, young, fresh, smart, go get them, true blue blood. I just want to start singing Abraham, Martin, and John, and Where Are You, Bobby? You know, we need a Bobby Kennedy, and everybody's giving RFK Jr. a hard time right now for working with Trump, but I've worked with him before, and he is a liberal, and he is a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
He is, by God, a Kennedy. And he's working to get something done, but he has integrity. And if there is something really wrong, he will be the first to speak out about it and what he is doing. And he is also, remember, a water protector.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think his sojourn with Trump will be very short-lived. I can't see that going anywhere, really.
Because he'll get disgusted and he'll blow the lid off of whatever gets disgusted with. But the other thing is, there's a lot of new blood that come into the Democrat Party, and a lot of, and I really commend Bernie Sanders for this because he and his revolution movement are urging people to get out there and run as Democrats.
Right.
Or whatever they choose, you know, to get the seats filled.
He's pushing them back to the left where they belong in the first place. This Republican light bullshit that they've been on for so long has not done them very well at all. It's not done the country well. It's not done anybody well except Republicans.
I agree.
So, Ron, I got to ask you as a historical, you know, authority on the government. When was the last time that a great purge, upset, and purge came like this? I mean, is there anything in our history that comes really close to this? And it's not the war between the states, you know? I mean, something that with gravitas and the wholeness, if I...
I don't think anything like what Bernie Sanders has done. No, I don't think so. Although I think in the 1920s, Robert La Follette Sr. on the Progressive Party was trying to bring back the Republican Party and the nation to the values that were done under Teddy Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson. But he was a third-party candidate, and he was already pretty – actually, he was not as old as Sanders, but he died the next year. That's what's sad about it. But La Follette was, I think – a serious alternative and always was a fighter in the early 20th century and from the Republican side. And he must be turning over in his grave about what's happened to the Republican Party now in the last 90 years. Yeah,
well, he and Abraham Lincoln both, because that party has been corrupted badly since the days of Lincoln.
Well,
yes.
What But my thought was, has there ever been a miserlou like this in our government where the republic itself was begun from the top down to try and be dismantled?
No, because since Teddy Roosevelt's time, but in going through all the presidents, even the conservative ones, Taft and even Hoover and Nixon and others, there was always more the belief that government, federal government, even though they might do less of it than Republicans, they always believed in more federal government and government agencies as dealing with the reality of a growing nation. And here we have 325 million people, and they want to go like as if we're back in 1828 in the time of Andrew Jackson. This is crazy.
It just blows you away, doesn't it? It's just incredible.
It's scary because they're going to get rid of every government agency and department if you give them time, and everything that helped working people, everything that helped as far as minimum wage and all that, and all the and Social Security they want to destroy, that Medicare they want to have as a voucher, and everything. So it means the poor, the disabled, the young, the elderly, the environment. I mean, it's going to be so destructive in a way that nobody's ever done, because
I
even the ones we don't
Steve
like
Bannon
Nixon
and,
did some good things.
And Donald Trump ought to be institutionalized, both of them. They're both wacky.
Yeah, because like Nixon, you can find fault with Nixon, but Nixon signed into law with the opposition Congress. He didn't veto the Environmental Protection Agency, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. He could have vetoed them.
Hasn't dawned on anybody yet what the quid pro quo was with Jackson and Horton and Kennedy on getting the EPA through with Nixon? Because you know it was a quid pro quo.
Okay, but the point is he went along with it. Trump's trying to destroy everything. You know?
He had to. They had something on him.
These men are reactionaries. They are not conservatives in the least. They are anti-conservative. They want to upturn everything and send it backwards. That is not healthy. You can't have a nation in such a fashion. It's insane.
Well,
but meanwhile, the top 1% will do fine.
Oh, yeah, they don't care. They're laughing all the way to the bank.
I think it's a mistake to think that the top 1% is all good with this. I think they're concerned. I really do. I think that in those back rooms, what have you, whatever conspiracy you want to go with, the Bilderbergs or whoever, I think they're concerned. I think they're concerned.
Well, I don't see him going after Bannon quite yet, and I don't see him going after Trump quite yet either. Granted, it's early, but let's see how much longer this plays out.
Well, Paul
Ryan and the rest of those lackeys are just doing they're laying in the weeds.
Yeah, they're clowns, though, comparatively, when you talk about people who wield that kind of financial brutality around the world. They are absolute just flagellants, and there's nothing comparative with them. And I think that those guys in those rooms are actually quite concerned. What are they concerned about? They're concerned about their pocketbooks. And
they don't want to see it disappear in smoke.
That's my point. They are seeing that is coming down the road at them at a clip now.
That's
it's
why
like,
they might engineer a coup to get rid of Trump. We'll see what happens.
Well, they don't engineer coups. They got grassy knolls, honey.
Well, they got ways of maneuvering, and they'll use them. You can bet on that.
I still think there was a reason that Kennedy was shot. It wasn't just, I don't know what it was, but I'm thinking it came from that direction. And I think that anybody that has its finger, as Kennedy did, on shifting the economy in a large way, which Trump does right now with his insanity. Ron, what do you think?
About the idea of a possible assassination, you mean?
I think they would do. I don't think they'd stop there. I think basically we've got an economy that is techno savvy, and it's connected to a hub around the whole planet. And there's backdoor deals that have been done with governments for probably close to 20 years now that have been sacrosanct that this clown is jerking with. And I think
well, I must say, I don't wish for any personal harm to him. I just wish he was out of office. And I, in my article a week and a half ago, I said I thought sometime between the second longest, second shortest president, Garfield, 199 days, and the third longest, Taylor, which is 492 days, I do think he will not last much more than a year, but hopefully leave office alive. I'm certainly not advocating or supporting any kind of violence, but I do think that it's likely he will be forced out. Yeah.
I don't wish the man harm or any of his family or
anyone.
Last
thing in the world is that is not a solution ever, you know.
No, it just makes a martyr of him. But
That's exactly right.
It has happened. It has happened in this country and many others before. And let's be clear, gentlemen, Kim L. Jung seems to be on a little bit of a purge spree. And we know that Putin's on a purging right now. And that makes me very nervous. It makes me nervous. So
let's hope Trump has his eyes closed.
Well, I think that he is his own worst
enemy. He doesn't get any inspiration.
I think he's his own worst enemy. And that given another couple of months even, he could actually pull himself down. I really do.
He's just a loose cannon. That guy's constantly firing off rounds. He doesn't know where he's aiming at anymore. That guy's wacko.
I mean,
we've never had a president this uncontrollable.
No, he's very dangerous because of the nuclear codes. It's very worrisome, you know.
God.
John, do you think that never mind, I'm not even going to ask that question because it does us no good to speculate on these things because everybody's wondering who has a critical thought.
And tomorrow it'll all change anyway when he does the next wacky thing. I've never seen anything like it. Every day it's something new with this goofball.
Yeah, you know, I went to the cardiologist a few weeks ago just for a regular checkup, and the cardiologist said to me, Ron, you have no idea how many of my patients come to me and they have heart palpitations for what's been going on. I think it's really undermined the health of a lot of senior citizens and a lot of people, the stress level that people have to wake up to every day beyond their own personal problems. I mean, it's just too much. We've never had a time when you have to wake up every day and be aggravated by what's going on.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
My nephew is a paramedic in an emergency room in Boca Raton, and he would confirm that, Ron, what your cardiologist is telling you, because he has seen a lot of elder patients come in, especially people who they're going a little nuts, you know, because of all of this, and their health is going into ping.
Well, they don't have to worry about the stock market, at least, because that's been cruising at record levels lately, but that won't last forever.
Well,
no,
the stock market
collapse.
Hates instability.
Let me tell you about that one, boys. I mean, you know, learn from history what happens when that goes on. I mean, 86, gentlemen.
Yep.
I mean, when it goes like that, especially with a Republican, oh, my gosh.
It's always under a Republican. It was in 87 under Reagan, in 07, 08 under Bush, in 29, 30 under Hoover, Herbert Hoover, in the late 50s under Eisenhower. It's always Republicans.
It always is.
It may go up and then it collapses.
Yeah, they always create recessions or depressions.
Yeah, and the Republican, and here's the thing. There's a lot of hardworking people out there who, let's face it, would rather see themselves as white collar than blue collar, who cling to that Republican standard of, yes, you can be everything you want in America, which I think has an
honest value.
It has an honest value.
That's disappeared.
Well, people are still doing it, though. It's one in
I know.
Out.
People still believe in that nonsense.
But you should, you know, don't shoot people's dreams up, baby. I mean, that's what makes us America. I'm a real old sucker for that. But I agree. I am a Pollyanna on that aspect of it. I do think that American, the values of America, when they're in their perspective properly, are the best.
That's a big phrase. They're in their perspective. They're out of perspective right now.
I agree with you, Gwen. You know, but the problem is it's not working right now for so many millions of people.
No.
Absolutely not. And we, whereas, you know, it too many people with the social confirmation now, I mean, socially conforming with technology and everything, people, especially young people, have a sort of unrealistic ideal. And it's hard to say, you know, without an education, without having some experience, and they're just willy-nilly. Do you follow where I'm going here? We've got a very divided nation, and that's part of it.
Well, some people have said it's not the United States of America, it's the divided states of America.
I call it the untied states.
Yeah.
It's not united in the least.
Well, it's basically the coastlines versus the flyover states.
Good point.
But there are so many opportunities, and there are so many startups and really great companies out there, and crowdfunding is making impossible dreams come true.
That's great. That's wonderful.
I mean, if you take a look at some of the stuff that's out there, in fact, China is actually taking their older buildings and cities now and making them farms. You know, they're filling them full of greenhouses, and they're growing everything out over the floors of parking buildings. You know, they've become
great
urban forests. I mean, that's
they need all the crops they can get their hands on.
And then there's all the organic farms that are working so hard, and they're having to fight against this politic of Monsanto.
Well, you know, slowly but surely, Gwen, the country is changing, not as fast as I'd like, but it is becoming more more sympathetic to co-ops and things like this as a result of activists out there, like in the New System Project. That's a wonderful endeavor, and it's really encouraging a lot of individual grassroots stuff rather than relying on big corporations.
Yes, that's my point exactly.
It's supplanting the big corporations, and it's way overdue.
And we have these wonderful ground rules that were written up so long ago that should enable us to make a country a sustainable community. And it's just fighting. You've got to go out and fight for your position on the floor, which means votes, which means leadership.
Yeah, right.
And it's that the big fight is commencing right now. It really is.
Professor, I would encourage you to go to YouTube and look up the Next System Project. There are a number of videos that are very, very detailed and very, very enlightening. It's going to blow you away when you see that.
The Next System Project.
The Next System Project, you bet. It's got half a dozen or better. No, there are probably 10 different videos on there in varying lengths that are just incredibly good.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to love that. We'll talk about it again sometime.
Okay.
I wonder, Ron, have you seen the news out that I think I posted on your page, but maybe I didn't. And I was going to ask you about it. You were talking about the C-SPAN
presidential survey,
the survey that you did. I saw, too, today on, good Lord, you'd think I had dementia. Meet the press. I saw that the numbers are 48% of Republicans are disappointed and out of favor with Trump, but 44% are still supporting.
Well, they're the last to come around.
Well, he's definitely under a majority. He's definitely does not have a majority,
And beyond Republicans, with the public at large, this guy has a horrible approval rating.
The
lowest of any modern president.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
What would you say it realistically is, Ron?
The actual support in the country for him?
Yeah. What's your take on that?
Well, he got 46% of the vote, if total vote. Remember, he got 54.
He's about 38% maybe at most.
And I think he lost some of that. So I'd say, I think I've seen it's basically 39, 38, maybe 40. It's going down every time he opens up his mouth or does something new. You know, I think people can't believe the kind of things he says and the lying. Every day he tells big whoppers. Not like little lies.
The cabinet picks he's made are very unpopular with the public at large. People are out demonstrating in the streets over his cabinet picks. It's just unreal. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, and the one last thing I wanted to get in here on this show today is the recusing of Jeff Sessions if a special prosecutor is needed to be brought in, which I think he will be. Over what is going on with all of the information that is being collected and gone over by our intelligence agencies. On the one hand, he's at war with them. On the other hand, he's having his cabinet members call them up and ask them to talk to journalists and dissuade them that there's anything wrong or any reports.
Which is corruption itself.
Yeah, Ryan Priebus did that. Good God, what an absolute idiot. That guy is such a moron.
I never came from as Republican National Chairman. I always thought he was an empty suit.
Yeah, big time.
Well, it's not such an empty suit right now. He goes out and plays straight man to Steve Bannon, and the things that they say should just shock the nation.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes.
Talk about dissembling the different branches of government, the
different agencies of government,
the different agencies, but they serve the branches of government. And to do that is the first step. Well, there's you know, I guess we shouldn't forget that there's also this. There's a checklist here that was made up in like 1937 or something. The early warning signs, powerful and continuing nationalism, disdain for human rights, identification of enemies as a unifying cause, supremacy of the military, rampant sexism, controlling the mass media, obsession with national security, religion and government intertwined, corporate power protected, labor power suppressed, disdain for intellectuals and the arts, obsession with crime and punishment, rampant cronyism and corruption, and fraudulent elections. Do you know what that
sounds like? Modern Republican
fascism and
point.
Nazism come back. Yeah,
yeah, it is. It's that, terrible.
I knew you'd know, Ron. I knew you'd know. That's what came out of, that actually came right out of Germany.
And remember, Trump comes from a German background. Remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, his family. And his father went to Ku Klux Klan rallies in New York in the 1920s and was arrested at one of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he was actually arrested for protecting people in a Klan meeting, and I guess you could figure he was there anyways. But his grandfather was the emigre. He came over from Germany. He tried to go back too, and they wouldn't have him.
Too bad the boat didn't sink.
Well, he did some shifty, you know, real estate deals on the West Coast, and he owned hotels that were, you know, brothels upstairs, which was common in the day. But one of the most nasty things he did was he was one of those who would press gang. In other words, when you got sailors coming in off ships who come home, they go, they get a bath, they get cleaned up, they're going to go on home inland to their families. But he would have them come in, you know, knock out drops in the drink or whatever, and they'd press gang them, put them back on the ships to, you know, for sailors. That kind of
any
thing
old thing for money.
Yeah, it, I mean,
unbelievable.
That's the Trump way.
The nice people don't like this family. They never have. That's why he was so uncomfortable at that dinner that night with Hillary Clinton. They don't like.
Well, my next blog post, Gwen, is gonna be next Thursday. It's gonna deal with how we should boycott every Trump-owned business. And you know something? I was doing some research on it. I had a little bit of trouble locating exactly where a lot of these businesses were located, but I ended up persevering and finding out That guy has wheeled and dealed like you wouldn't believe in his just his career. He'll get in on something, he'll get out of it right away, and he'll make off with the money, and you know everybody gets screwed except him. No, this guy is unbelievable.
Well, that's
yeah.
what he's doing to the American
way.
People now.
It's the Trump
that's
way.
What he's
now
doing
he's
the American
make,
people.
No, he's trying to make American. He's trying to make our American government pay his way on everything. The guy's just a crook.
Yes,
Ron, he is.
Do you have any engagements or events coming up right now in the next few weeks?
Well, I have a couple of radio shows I'm going to be on in the next few weeks. But my book now, Assassination Threats to the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama, is officially out in paperback March 8th. But actually, I've already gotten copies. And
great.
So I'm hoping to get some book events in South Florida, you know, at these Barnes & Nobles. I'm hoping, you know. But I'm always busy, and I'm always writing articles for History News Network. In fact, I just published an article that just came out just now, a couple of hours ago, about 12 times that the close election results determine who was president, not just – you know, not just 2016, but 12 different times how voting really does matter. And next week I'm going to have an article about the person I consider the best independent or third-party candidate since Robert La Follette Sr. on the Progressive Party in 1924. And we've had a number of them. What I've done is I'm saluting John Anderson, Illinois Congressman John Anderson, who just hit 95 on February 15th, and I'm writing an article about how I thought his third-party or independent candidacy, although he didn't win any states, was really the best person ever to run outside the party system. Because I don't consider Ross Perot really that legitimate a candidate, or Ralph Nader, or Pat Buchanan, or George Wallace. I really think that John Anderson is someone to remember, and he's still alive at age 95, lives in South Florida.
He was from Illinois, wasn't he?
Yes, indeed, from Rock.
Rock Island or Rock.
I can't remember at the moment, but anyway, in Central Illinois, and he was a House member for the Republicans for 20 years, and he was a moderate Republican. And then he ran in 1980, and he got into a debate. He was able to get a debate with Reagan. Carter wouldn't debate with him, but he was the first independent candidate, Ross Perot II, in 1992 to actually get a chance to debate with, you know, at least with one of the two candidates.
Yeah.
So I'm writing that next week. So I keep busy all the time, and my blog
every
day.
I'm glad you're resurrecting some of these people that many of us have forgotten about, you know.
And he's still alive. That's the thing.
He's still alive.
Around.
Yeah. But he has no base of power anymore, and he's older and just kind of retired, I guess you could say. But I'm sure he contributes something once in a while in the newspaper or something. But let's hope so.
Mm-hmm. So I keep busy.
Well, and also you should let people know, because a lot of people do tune in from Facebook here, to look up Ronald Feynman, that's F-E-I-M-A-N, Ronald Feynman, on Facebook, because his page is
the Progressive like Professor.
It's like a rolling, a rolling ticker tape of what is published by the hour on politics.
That's funny. Well, I'm active on Facebook under my name and under Assassinations, Threats in the American Presidency, and also under the Progressive Professor. And then I write independently on the Progressive Professor, other articles that I share on Facebook and on Twitter, under Politis, P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-T on Twitter.
I didn't know you were on Twitter. Good Lord.
Oh, I'm on Twitter, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Now you'll be watching me on Twitter. P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-T, I'm under.
It's always a pleasure
politics.
To have you on the show, Professor.
I always enjoy it. I enjoy talking with you.
We enjoy it every time.
Yeah.
And you do us proud every single time. So you did it again today, and we'll look forward to next time. So we'll
look forward to it.
Yeah.
And I hope Wayne will be back
I hope
soon,
so, too. He will be.
Yeah.
He will be.
I know that Wayne will be listening in probably later this evening, and we hope he broke a leg and had a great time.
Yeah. He's a good man. There's no doubt about it.
So thank you. Thank you, Dr. Feynman, for being with us.
The name
of that book is Assassination, Threats, and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama.
And it's Roman Littlefield Publishers. Roman Littlefield Publishers, yes.
He actually, Barack Obama made an appearance in New York City and got a street clapping this week.
Cool.
Which was very cool.
Well, he's number 12 on the C-SPAN list of all the presidents, 91
right.
scholars, so he started off very high for just leaving office. Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. So.
And I think he'll rise. I think he'll be in the top 10 after the next presidency ends.
I think he probably, undoubtedly, yeah.
But even George W. Bush will rise.
Oh, God. Who would ever
Everybody
thought?
Will rise after Trump,
After Trump, yeah.
And you can find Jack Jodell's Saturday Afternoon Post. Just Google it. You'll find it. Saturday Afternoon Post with Jack Jodell. And, gentlemen, that is the end of us. Jack, can you give us the sign-off, please?
Everybody, remember, keep pushing forward. We have no other alternative.
Thank you, Jack. We will be back next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Dr. Feinman.
Thank you very much.
Again soon, I hope.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great week, everybody.
Yeah, have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.